Venerable religious and clerics, my dear parishioners, it is an unfortunate fact of this life that we will have many negative encounters with our fellow men. But we might say that of all of these negative encounters that we might have, ingratitude may be one of the most difficult to handle. Gratitude is really a beautiful thing, and true gratitude can be sensed, really. Is somebody grateful for what we have done, or not really? Is it just sort of a token thing, an exchange of sorts? I think of the rather interesting tipping culture that has become a thing in our country. I'm so very grateful that the person handed me my food as they were supposed to. I'm going to give them a certain amount of money for it. A little different. Sort of a heartless exchange that goes on. But giving gifts can be a way to express our gratitude, it's true. We might think of the sort of transactional pizza that must be given to those people that help us move. But as I said, true gratitude is not necessarily in these transactions or in gift giving. True gratitude can be sensed. G.K. Chesterton had a quote about gratitude. He said, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." There's really a lot to unpack in that little saying, as is typical of G.K. Chesterton. The highest form of thought, happiness doubled by wonder. Gratitude is necessary, but it's also one of the great things that we are allowed to experience in this life. And we know, of course, gratitude, the greater the favor given, the more necessary is that gratitude. We might think of parents for a moment. Parents that give everything to their children, they make incredible sacrifices. I think I've heard that the typical child costs about $300,000 by the time they graduate high school. And of course, money is not an important thing, but we give everything for our children. And so it makes it extremely difficult when there is that ingratitude. This sort of selfish asking. I was like, well, can't you understand what it is your parents do for you? And so the greater the favor, the greater the need for thanks. We look at the gospel story for today. 10 lepers besought our Lord that they might be healed. And our Lord performed for them an incredible miracle. Really, leprosy is a death sentence. Not only is it a death sentence, but you are going to die slowly and miserably. It's a horrific disease. And along with this, the physical horrors of this disease, you become an outcast from society. It's a truly miserable existence. And so our Lord gave them an incredible grace, an incredible gift in the healing of this horrific disease. And somehow only one returned to give thanks. We shake our heads almost. How is it possible? Would that not be their first instinct, the other nine? What just happened? Something incredible happened. Who did it? We have to go find him. But no, only one returned. But as we shake our heads at the ingratitude of the 9 lepers, my dear friends in Christ, we have been given gifts, orders of magnitude greater than this, than what we see in the gospel account for today. We could spend a lifetime really thinking of the benefits given us by Almighty God. In fact, we discussed this briefly yesterday for the ladies' retreat. Almighty God has proven by countless means that he loves us infinitely. He has heaped upon us good things, beginning with the very fact of our existence. We are here because of the excess of God's love. Not only did he create us and give us free will, the gift of grace in our souls, he came and he died for love of us. He shed every last drop of his blood. He gave for us his own mother to be our mother. He gave us the sacraments, and most especially he gave us the sacrament of his love, his own presence in the Holy Eucharist. These benefits make the favor given to those 10 lepers seem really like nothing. We have been overwhelmed with good things by Almighty God. And we have to ask that question. Are we sufficiently grateful? Imagine, if you can, for a moment, those 10 lepers. After being miraculously cured by our Lord, they had the insane idea to go and live again with their leper friends who were not cured. And what is the obvious outcome of that? They're going to be infected again with leprosy. It's a very easily transmitted disease. And so what do? They find themselves infected again with this disease, and they remember, oh, we were cured once, let's go find him again. And they go find our Lord again, and what does he do? But he cures them again. And probably the same thing would happen again. Only one would return and give thanks. The 9 would go along their merry way. And it would not be surprising at all if they went back to their leper colony and were infected yet again. This horrific cycle of yet again and again and again. Does this sound perhaps familiar? How often do we go to our Lord to have our soul cleansed, miraculously cleansed of sin? And yet, we go back to the same old filth. I remember reading one time a commentary on the parable of the prodigal son, a story that we know very well from sacred scripture. And we recall the son demanded of his father his inheritance. The father gave him the inheritance. He went into a far land and squandered it by bad living. A famine came on the country and he found himself in desperate need. And so he returned to his father and begged him to be a servant in his father's house. And the father welcomed him. He met him halfway. Not only did he forgive him, he put a cloak upon his shoulders and rings upon his fingers, and he killed the fatted calf to throw a party because his son had returned. What incredible mercy on the part of the Father. What gratitude should have been that prodigal son's. But the commentator said, the story in the gospel ends there. But the story of so many souls is that same story of the prodigal son. The fatted calf is killed, the party is thrown, and the very next morning, that son goes again to his father and demands a half of his father's goods. He wants his inheritance yet again, and he goes and he squanders it yet again. Can we think of a more egregious ingratitude? And so, my dear friends, we of course must not let this be ourselves. So what do we do? How do we show our gratitude for God's incredible giving? First, we must amend our lives. If we are given to any kind of deliberate sin, we root it out. We do whatever is necessary to eliminate it from our lives. We don't ask him to cure us again and again if we are still determined to go and hang out with our lepers. That is, we keep company with sin. We are abusing his generosity. We will not do that. We will amend our lives. Take definite steps to overcome sin. Next, we will simply tell Almighty God that we are grateful. This should be an important part of our prayers. So often it's an unfortunate fact, we only go to God when we're in need of something. And we should. He said, ask and you shall receive. But how often do we stop to think, lift our minds to heaven and just tell God, thank you, when something good comes our way? Or even something bad. We know that we're supposed to thank him for our crosses. But lift our minds to heaven. Thank him. And we also must use the gifts that God has given to us. The sacraments. Frequent the sacraments. Show our gratitude by making the sacrifice to come to Mass as often as we can, even if it is inconvenient, even if we are tired, or we have to put some other obligation off if it's possible. Come to Holy Mass. Use the gift of his time. We only have so much time, and it is a gift. Let us use it to honor him and to work on our immortal souls. My dear friends in Christ, let us be sure that we are determined to be that small portion of mankind that sees what God has done for us. Let us be sure to show our gratitude by our actions and in our prayers. Let us be sure to tell him often, thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.